Joining us now, Michelle Gardner, Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. Has got a big one as BYU gets set to take on Arizona State. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Michelle.
I'm okay, I guess. I mean, I just walked out of the practice field, and it's, you know, we normally don't get viewing on Thursday. They shut us out of practice yesterday, very unexpectedly, but they said we could come for 10 minutes this morning. So it's a really weird vibe around here right now.
Does Herm have something up his sleeve? Has he got something he's cooking for Saturday?
I don't think it's Herm. I think Herm's got people in his ear telling him, you know, you need to look out for the media because they're against you. And Herm loves us for the most part, but I think he's got people in his ear telling him what to do. And especially with this investigation looming, I think they're way more guarded than they've been in the past. So it's just kind of a weird dynamic around here right now.
Well, Michelle, Scotty and I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the assistant staff that was taken off the field and out of camp. And I'm really curious, can you give us a timeline and a better understanding of staff leaving, staff returning, if they are back in those coaches' rooms? And if not, who's taking over and who's coaching right now?
Well, Adam Brenneman is the tight ends coach, and he was the first one that was kind of put on leave. And then about a week and a half later, it was wide receivers coach Prentice Gill and defensive backs coach Chris Hawkins that were put on leave as well. Now, those are the three youngest coaches on the staff. Brenneman and Hawkins are both 26, and I believe Prentice Gill is either 30 or 31. So, and they're all really regarded as dynamic, aggressive recruiters, and a lot of these allegations are in, you know, the recruiting realm. So, but when you look at the quality of people Herm has in the program, I don't think from an on-field standpoint that there's that much of a drop-off. The person coaching the tight ends right now is a guy named Justin Wood, and Justin Wood was on Zach Hill's staff at Boise State, and he was a I believe he was a consultant here or something like that. So he was with Zach Hill at Boise, so he knows the offense. So there's not a big drop-off there. The wide receivers coach is Bobby Wood, who was serving as a GA. And Bobby Wood was one of the greatest receivers ever at the University of Arizona. So he's got pretty good pedigree. And again, he was in the program. So it's not like they've brought in strangers from outside. And then Donnie Henderson has been serving as the D-backs coach. Obviously, he's got NFL pedigree, too. He's kind of more of an old-timer as opposed to the younger guys. So Herm's had good people around him. And I don't think from the standpoint of a coaching on the field standpoint, I don't see that that's been much of a difference. Now, where it will hurt is in the recruiting realm, because those were the three men that are on leave were your three best recruiters. So, and again, it's hard to recruit right now when there's uncertainty hanging over the program. So I don't think from an on-field coaching standpoint, there's much of a difference. Where this may show up is in the recruiting realm.
When is there any anticipation on when those guys might be available again, or how the process of this? And because, I mean, we've seen investigations. You look at like North Carolina. I mean, that thing went years and years and years. Is that kind of perhaps the same timeline we might be looking into something like this?
You know, I don't know if it's going to be years, or kind of like the Arizona basketball thing that seemingly has been going on forever. I don't think we're looking at that case of scenario. But, you know, it just depends on how many people, who you're talking to, and if they're not cooperating witnesses, if you want to call it that. So if you've got people that are forthcoming, and I'm sure they're calling these recruits that were allegedly on campus. So I think it just depends on how forthcoming the people are that you're interviewing. But I can't see anything happening before the end of this season, though.
Well, I want to take a look back at this Arizona State UNLV game. A couple of drives out of the gates in the first half. UNLV goes down the field. They keep this thing close and interesting. And then Jaden Daniels does his thing. He's a spectacular talent. But in that second week of action, first week of FBS action, give me some of your thoughts, your breakdowns of what your expectations were for Arizona State and where they may have met him and may not have met him.
You know, it's really hard to tell because of the level of the competition. I think the thing right now the glaring void and the thing that we're all still looking for is who's going to be the go-to wide receiver. We've been saying that since March. So they really haven't had a guy emerge as that receiver. And the other thing is they don't really have anybody, at least to this point, that's stretching the field. They're throwing a lot of underneath stuff and short out passes. But very rarely are they even looking deep. And really last week, the only time they even attempted to go deep was the touchdown pass with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, where Jaden threw to Bunkley Shelton for, I think it was 33 yards. So that was really the only time they looked to go deep. And you've got to stretch the field at some point, you know, against the better foes. So I think that is the number one thing that people are still looking for. And as far as Jaden goes, yes, he ran for 125 yards, but Herm was the first one to say, we don't want our quarterback running for 125 yards. That's not the best case scenario. So,
yeah, he had 13 carries, 125 yards, so that's not part of who they are. Now, that the week before against Southern Utah was relatively, you know, 40 yards on less than 10 carries. So I guess the how he performed against Southern Utah is probably a little bit more indicative of how they're going to use him in the rushing attack.
I would think so, yes. Jaden seemed to get happy feet in the pocket a little bit and seemed to not be waiting for the blocks and, you know, to develop. He seemed to kind of run kind of prematurely, if you want to call it that, at least on a couple of occasions. So I think he's got to trust his linemen and kind of hang in the pocket more before he takes off.
As you've kind of watched Herm through this ordeal that he's going through, and you watched him through camp and you watched him through these first two games, how is he holding up?
Herm is Herm. He doesn't change. He's actually, you know, we've talked about this, you know, when he meets with the press on Monday, he's his normal Herm self. He's his normal charismatic self. The only thing I can say is not only him, but like, it just seems like information around here is a little cryptic. And again, I think he's been told to keep it close to the vest as far as, you know, when a guy's not at practice and we ask why somebody's not at practice, and the canned response is, well, we're working through things. Well, what does that mean? Is it academics? Is it athletic? Is he hurt? Does he have a class that he couldn't be? I mean, when you're that cryptic, you leave it up to way more speculation than if you told us what it was. So, you know, when it comes to that, he said everybody was going to play after the game on Saturday. He said, oh, everybody's good to go. Well, I'm not so sure Chip Traynham's going to play, the running back who's kind of the second back behind Rashad White. He sprained an ankle in the very first game, did not play Saturday. We all kind of can't see him playing. When I say we, I see the media. We've kind of talked about it amongst ourselves. And I can't see Chip Traynham playing this week.
What's the level of expectations there for this team this year? You know, you go to Pac-12 Media Day, and USC always is picked to finish first, which obviously with the discord in that program, who knows how that's going to play out. But then it was Utah and Arizona State right there kind of neck and neck. Is there expectations there in that community for this team to compete and maybe win a South Division title?
Absolutely. I mean, and you look at this year, if they're going to do it, it's now or never, because they do have 20 seniors come, or 20 returning starters coming back. And, you know, Jaden, they want to say, he wants to say he's going to be gone after this year, because he kind of made no secret of, you know, three and then I'm out of here. But his development has kind of been stagnated a little bit, I think, by the shortened year in 2020. But I most definitely think that they're all in this year. And that might be another reason that everything is closely guarded to the vest, because maybe they don't want anything, any little thing out, because they think that this is their year and they have to be all in.
So, Michelle, as you know, BYU is bringing about six or seven very solid targets offensively, guys that are good at the tight end position and good wideouts, very good wideouts that have had a lot of early success against Arizona and Utah. I want to know Arizona State's ability to defend multiple targets in a defensive backfield with their nickels, their safeties, their corners, and their different packages. How versatile are they at defending different looks offensively?
Well, I actually think that's one of the strengths of the ASU defense is when you look at their starting defensive backs, They have, I think I looked at the notes today, and it's 131 career starts by their defensive backs.
Wow.
That's a lot, yes. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at a guy like a Chase Lucas that's in his sixth, he's a sixth-year senior. He, if he plays the rest of this year, he's going to set the career record for starts. So that's where their experience is. That's where they're really loaded. So, you know, that might be the strength of the BYU offense, but I think it's also the strength of the ASU defense. So, and they've actually got depth there too. So I think that ASU is pretty well set in that regard. They've got good caliber players on the back end of the defense.
Well, I think that that's the premier matchup of the game then, because I know I was watching ASU against UNLV. UNLV couldn't get a pass off. They couldn't complete a pass. I think they were under 70 yards in that game against Arizona State. And as I was watching, I was thinking, boy, that might be a really good matchup. I just wasn't real sure of that depth of the Arizona State defensive backs. But I think that that should be the premier matchup, Michelle.
Well, and you look at it was kind of a tale of two halves. In the second half, ASU gave up 19 yards total offense.
Wow.
That's ridiculous, okay? If you notice, they just dialed up the pass rush too, and I think that was a big factor in that too. They couldn't get a pass off. So we talked to the defensive line coach yesterday, and he said that, yeah, they need to dial up the pass rush a little bit earlier than they did in that game. And I think that they've kind of likened the quarterback from UNLV a little bit to the BYU quarterback in as far as their skill set. So they're thinking the adjustments that they made in the second half of that game last week can go a long way towards preparing them for this week because the quarterbacks are kind of similar.
You know, you bring up a good point because that quarterback ran for 43 yards on 8 carries. That wasn't his primary function, was to run the ball, but he was able to get out in space and get some yards. Is that something where they feel like Arizona State with Jaren Hall, they can pin their ears back and get after him, or do they got to be a little wary of his ability to escape the pocket and make plays with his feet?
Both. Yeah. And that's what the defensive line coach said yesterday. He definitely thinks that he said, you know, he's going to get loose once or twice. You got to kind of minimize the damage. So again, they, you know, if you look at the adjustments ASU made last week from the first half to the second, you know, Brumfield got some yardage in the first half, but in the second half, that yardage wasn't there.
Michelle, I went back and watched that Arizona State UNLV game, and number 20, I believe his last name is Butler. You talked about the pressure that they brought in the second half, and they used him a lot in different blitzes, different looks, stunt blitz. Is that primarily what they love to do with number 20? Is he just a versatile backer? I mean, give me a little bit of background on him because he jumped out off the screen on
I think he's arguably been their best player this year. He came into camp in better shape than he's ever been in, not necessarily weight-wise, but you could tell that he had trimmed down and it was muscle. And he's got 2 sacks and 2 interceptions, and he's the only player in the country that's got 2 sacks and 2 interceptions. And that kind of tells you about his versatility. And the interesting thing about Darian Butler is when he came out of high school, he was like they talked 3-star, 4-star, 5-star recruits. He was like a no-star recruit. He just really wasn't that highly recruited. But Antonio Pierce knew him because when Antonio Pierce, who's the defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator, before he came to ASU, he coached at Long Beach Poly, and his teams played against Darian Butler's teams. So he basically took a flyer on Butler and said, look, I know this guy. I've watched him for several years. And he could be a very, very good player for us. And, you know, again, he really wasn't recruited out of high school. So now you look at the way Butler's playing, and, you know, that's quite a coup on Pierce's part to be able to see that from the kid as a high schooler when nobody else could see it and say, hey, I think this kid can translate into a very good player. So, yes, Darian Butler has been an impact player in every way, shape, or form. I think he's been the best player on this team, either side of the ball, through 2 weeks.
Hey, Michelle, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for carving out a few moments for us. I know you're busy leading up to game day, but thanks for your time, and let's do it again soon.
Anytime.
Michelle Gardner, Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic.